is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
And it is us. And how are you doing on a Monday evening after what a long and productive and happy for some, happy for everybody, weekend in high school football. State championships, you build for them. Started, the clock is already on for 2019. It's that exciting. 8 games, 3 days. As I was telling Matt Wilson, they call him Biff. First of all, it's off-base Biff because Biff was Thomas Wilson. You don't look like him at all. And but you did personalize it and said the Biff. So if but I give you credit.
They got to make sure and they know who it is. It's the Biff, not just a normal Biff.
Not just Biff. Your everyday Biff. But I was just telling Matt Wilson before, when you take a look at all the games, 16 hours, 3 games a day, Friday and Saturday, and the 2 on Thursday, that's 45 hours of football. That's a lot. Very productive for everybody in every class. We had 6 teams go up, 6 of the top teams in the state. At 8A, Columbus will be a runner-up, loss to a very hot Jacksonville Mandarin team, but Columbus put on a rush towards the end, and what a great year for Coach Chris Merritt in the Explorers. And 7A, St. Thomas Aquinas coming up short against a very good Lakeland team, but St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, we all know that it is important, obviously, to keep winning championships, and St. Thomas has won more than their share, obviously, throughout the years. But that was that's tough to swallow because you figure they get over the hump with Venice, and they get there and drop to, like I said, a very good Lakeland team, and kind of gives Coach Roger Harriott and his team a little perspective on because Lakeland will be like this at least for next year. So what they have to go against, but not losing sight of the fact that there's still going to be Venice and Dwyer and some of those other schools as well. 6A state champion. I'll tell you what, 6 weeks ago, if I said to anybody Northwestern would defend a state title with a 5-5 record, you would have kind of thought that maybe I don't need to be around this profession anymore. But ha, this is a team that really played well. I mean, just extremely well in just the toughest football, high school football district in the country, bar none. Most prospect rich. Well, yeah, Carroll City and Central. And speaking about that, tomorrow, check out SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, our website, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, or go to WQAM.com. Search us out on there, and you'll have our final top 15. And you know it's going to be jumbled up because number 1, 2, and 3 all lost. So there's going to be a whole bunch of shuffling around tomorrow. But as I said, in 6A Northwestern, I kind of defied it all. Went on the road for all the games and came home with the state championship, shutting out Armwood 22-0. Congratulations to Coach Max Edwards and his Bulls. Speaking about that, about 8:30 or so, we'll have Leslie Smith, University of Pittsburgh commitment, linebacker from Northwestern. He'll talk to us about the season, the championship, what the run was all about. It was a really good one. In 5A, congratulations to Cardinal Gibbons. The Chiefs breakthrough finally and went on the football field. Awesome job by head coach Matt DeBuck and his staff. Jack Hanrahan dialed it up on defense. We'll have Matt DeBuck on at 8:45. He'll talk about that first ever football championship. He's been around that school for a long time, so he knows. In 3A, congratulations, obviously, to Chaminade Madonna. Coach Damian Jones and the Lions repeat. So a lot of Chaminade fans, including Joe Zagacki, who is very proud to be an alumnus of Chaminade Madonna. And we talked to him a little bit before tonight. In 2A, Champagnat Catholic, tough go. No one ever expected him after losing a head coach and some of the coaches and a lot of players from last year, but they returned to defend their title, but came up just short and finished the second. So quite a salute to South Florida high school football teams and outstanding players who participated in. that event. Also tonight, 8:20, Andrew Ivins will check in from 247 Sports to talk a little bit about what the University of Miami is doing, who they are getting now to try to flip in the closing weeks of recruiting season. But we kick off our show this evening with a University of Miami commitment, somebody who has been just instrumental in the ride to a state championship once more for Chaman Amidana. Cameron Williams joins us this evening. Cameron, congratulations. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me there.
What a great feeling that was. You know, I mean, you get an opponent, you know, who came out and try to do what they could do. Smaller school, a lot wasn't expected of King's Academy. Had a great year, and then all of a sudden the talent started kicking in, the maturity, the senior leadership of Chaman Amidana. You guys pulled away. Talk about what that feeling was all about for you, experiencing that emotion once again.
You know, we came in, we was like, we didn't sleep on the team. Like, we was ready for anybody. We was going to get a pressure to anybody, no matter who it was. But we was just humble throughout, like, the whole game. And, you know, just winning again, it felt like amazing. Because, you know, it's always nice to win a state title.
There's a really good bond between this senior class. You, Keontrich, Corey, all having really good years, having great games, going to the same college. But there's other seniors on that team that lifted up the program when they needed it the most. You talk about Willie Davis, your top running back. Thad goes out. He steps in a crucial game in Clearwater and has just an outstanding game. Players like that. Talk about the senior leadership away from those guys that were expected to do it.
You know, we all waited on our opportunity, and you know, we always coach each other up. Like, we never like get too selfish about any position on the team, basically.
And you take a look, Cameron, at this coach and the coaching staff and Coach Jones, who has taken this program to the state title 3 straight years, winning the last 2. Talk about him and what kind of influences he and the coaching staff have made on you and your football abilities.
Coach Jones, he just isn't a coach. He's also a father, basically like a father figure to me. And, you know, not me, just the whole team. Like, he just want to see us do well. He basically try to get all his players to the next level. He's an amazing coach.
And as we're speaking with Cameron Williams, Chaman Amidana, the University of Miami commitment, defensive end, has made some tremendous strides over the last year or so in your play alone. Talk about that. Be a little bit self-critical of yourself. Talk about what you've worked on and what you believe before you get to the next level you need to work on still.
Well, I feel like I can still work on my speed and technique, more of my technique and more of my strength, too.
Yeah, I mean, getting in the weight room more. I mean, is there – and obviously you get to the next level, and that's their objective, to get you bigger and as big as you can and as strong as you can. But you're at that time, and I see you now. I mean, probably everything you eat just burns right off because, I mean, you're tall. But there's going to be a time – I can almost guarantee in your life there's going to be a time that those pounds are not going to be as easy to get off. But you look now, and you look where you are physically. And I watched you the other day running around. I mean, you're the type of guy that every school's looking at. I mean, you have everything going for you as a football player in the classroom. And talk about that because, you know, I'm big in the classroom. I like that. And you're at a perfect school where they turn out as many academia people as they do in on athletics. Talk about that a little bit, what that environment's been for you as well.
You know, Chaman has a great school. I highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to go to the next level, not only in academics, but not only in sports, but also academics, I meant to say. And it just, like, gets you prepared for the next level, college prep.
When you look at a lot of the players that you know, whether – it was St. Thomas or Northwestern. Do you cheer for the other schools in the South Florida? I mean, because I saw a lot of the kids were at the Northwestern game from other schools around, and they were pulling from them. Do you kind of like pull for the Southern teams a little bit?
Oh yeah, yeah. We all, you know, we all try to put on for like our counties, and like most of us, we know each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, from years and years of, I mean, and you've been around the county, you know the guys. I mean, and that's the one thing too, and I think I said this to you earlier in the season when I saw you at the Deerfield game. But the schedule that you guys played, I mean, this is a schedule that Coach Jones and the athletic director put together that really puts you in a position. I mean, you played some of the tougher opponents, like I said, Deerfield. You played American Heritage, which was a 2-time defending state champion. I mean, you've had a schedule, Booker T. Talk about that and what it did to get you ready for last weekend.
You know, Coach Jones, he put us up against the competition because, like, we felt like we were prepared for it, which we were. But, you know, it was, like, great, like, having it because we were still, like, building, like, a bond, like, still got getting stronger as a team.
Yep.
And, you know, as we, like, went through the season, we started to, like, dominate even more.
Yep. Yeah, you did. Cameron, I appreciate it. Appreciate you taking the time. Congratulations. You did things that you know, a lot of young kids are dreaming of winning a title, getting it done in the classroom, having a college to go to, and I know that's exciting as well. Take it easy. Have a great holiday. We'll see you, I'm sure, very soon.
You too.
Good job. Cameron Williams, Shaman Amadonna, 2-time state champion with the Lions, and I know that's great to hear. And if you're a University of Miami fan, it's even better to hear because once he gets on campus and admittedly wants to get in that weight room, and he's going to have to because you look at some of the defensive ends like the kid Harvey coming in from Vero Beach. You already had Rousseau on board. There's a couple of other guys who've been getting bigger and bigger, and that's a sign of a program taking shape. You get a lot of these guys who didn't play a role last year for a school like the University of Miami that now are that next, as they say, the next man up. So that's exciting to watch a program grow, and it has, and there's a lot of strides made. I mean, any program in the country, you're always going to have positives and negatives. You're going to have some really good points and bad points. Everything's not going to come together at the same time, but when it does, you will see. Still to come this evening, 8:45, we'll talk state championship with Matt DeBuck at Cardinal Gibbons at 8:30. Leslie Smith, starting linebacker at Northwestern, on his way to the University of Pittsburgh. And when we come back, Andrew Ivins will break down some of those commitments, decommitments, whatever it is. Flips, they call them right now. When we were a kid, flips was something you wore. We'll be right back.
Radio.com. Radio.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
Watson back in with you on a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein taking you up until 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, don't forget. Check out our social media, Larry Bluestein. You can follow me. You can follow the SF High School Sports. Go on our website is the best. I'm telling you, if you want to find information, 10 blogs a week throughout the course of a year. I mean, you get enough information on recruiting, on football teams. Today we had our Monday take, which took a look at all the teams, how they did that came up from South Florida at the state championships, and have a lot of other things going on, but nobody's plate is fuller this time of year than Andrew Ivins. He works extremely hard. Had a chance to spend a lot of the weekend with him. Very diligent guy. Works, probably uses that elevator as much as anybody, up and down to shoot and to post stuff. And he's got the pulse of University of Miami football, and he joins us this evening. Andrew, thanks so much for taking the time.
Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah,
Two days,
but a lot of great football. And while you were watching that, a lot of your mind was focused on what's happening in Coral Gables and obviously commits, decommits, flips, not flips. Talk about that and what that's been for you, because I know fans listening tonight tuning in especially to hear your wisdom on how things are going, you know, in recruiting with 2 weeks left in the early signing period.
Well, I mean, Miami did pick up a commitment today from Jakari Clark, a three-star offensive lineman out of Georgia. He was one of the kids they had in for an official visit. So, really, I mean, this was the first commitment from Miami, I think, man, really, dating back to September. So,
wow.
I almost kind of forgot how to write a commit story. I mean, I've been writing so many decommit stories. But I just think this maybe is a start of what could be a pretty strong finish for the Hurricanes, you know. I think we're 9 days out from the early signing period, and there's kind of a lot of big fish that are in play. I mean, two of the kids we saw Friday night, they're at Lakeland High, and Keon Zipper, the tight end, and Lloyd Summerall, the defensive end. I mean, that's a Miami Florida battle down to the stretch. So they're in it with him. They're in it with Chris Vogel, the defensive end we saw at Cardinal Gibbons. That's probably a Miami-Alabama battle. And then there's other guys all around the country. Jaden Hazelwood, the five-star wide receiver. So I know a lot of Miami fans have been disappointed with how kind of the season played out and the recent commitments. But I think there's still a reason to be optimistic, about a strong finish here.
Yeah, what gives you that optimism? Because you try to read through the lines, you try to understand, you know, and then today all of a sudden you see Keon and Lloyd in nice Gator uniforms doing the Gator chop. So, you know, you kind of like have to read through some lines. You do it. A lot of people do it. Why is there that optimism?
I can't give away all my secrets.
Give me a couple, anyway.
You know, I think Miami's done a very good job of recruiting Keon and Lloyd Summerall, and I think a lot of people kind of just throughout this whole process have assumed that they're going to end up at Florida. The Gators have traditionally recruited that Lakeland area really well, but, you know, I think Todd Hartley has recruited Keon Zipper harder than anyone else. And the thing that stands out to me is Keon says he wants to go to whatever school is going to get him to the league and develop him. And I think when you look at Miami, their recent track record with tight ends, whether it's David Njoku, Chris Herndon, and, of course, all the other guys like Greg Olsen and Jimmy Graham, I think, you know, if he really truly means that, then Miami would be the spot for him. So I've always thought Miami's in this. It seems like more information is now kind of leaking out that this is really 50-50, and I just want to kind of be like, where's everyone been? I've been saying this the whole time. So,
right.
And you say that optimism. Miami gets the last visit. I think these two kids are very impressionable. I mean, they'll be on campus this weekend with probably 9-10 other elite prospects. So Miami gets that last face-to-face, then things go dead, and then they announce a decision on December 19th, so in 9 days from now. And I think Miami, you know, it's like I said, if someone asked me today, put a percentage on it, I said above 50%. So that means I think they're definitely in it and probably in a little bit better spot than Florida right now.
Yeah, and that's good to hear. Andrew Ivins joining us, 247 Inside the U, has his, I mean, I know I watched him the other day while you were doing a lot of the work, and there was a lot of things happening, a lot of visits over the weekend that you wrote about as well. Talk about that and how you feel some of those visits may have, even though it's not the last weekend, it's the next to last weekend.
Right, so this was kind of a little appetizer, I called it, for the big weekend. This is kind of maybe more the long shot type of prospect. The guy committed to other school. Miami didn't really want around their commits. Jakai Clark, the offensive lineman, like I said, they landed him. The two recruitments I'm really kind of monitoring over, or I guess I should say three recruitments over the next couple of weeks would be Kyir Elam, the defensive back at the Benjamin School up in West Palm Beach. Long been considered a Florida-Georgia battle, but Miami's really kind of got themselves in there. I think Mel Tucker, the defensive coordinator at Georgia, leaving, that only helps them. So I think Miami made a huge move there. Then you got John Dixon, the cornerback over on the West Coast at Tampa Chamberlain. He's a guy who the Hurricanes liked a lot, injured his knee playing basketball, elected to kind of rehab the MCL, not go surgery, so there was a lot of questions. But he had a strong senior season. Miami really likes him. I think he's a guy who could be a possible late addition to the class. And then the final one, I'm really interested to see what happens, is Derek Hunter, the defensive lineman from Fort Myers, Dunbar, an interior guy. Miami fans know the name. He was previously committed to the Hurricanes. And I think anything could happen on National Signing Day. He's committed to Florida State now. Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M were there last week. So I think he's one where a lot of schools are going to be sitting around like all of us on next Wednesday,
waiting to see which hat he puts on.
Andrew, you mentioned a lot of battles. I mean, you mentioned one battle between Miami and Florida, but I noticed there's a few between the state schools going on. Anybody that might, you know, I see, like you just mentioned, one FSU. Does Miami have an opportunity? And a lot of people had asked me, there's a couple of kids that have Miami on the list but are kind of like leaning further on for FSU. Any way Miami goes in and maybe makes that last, you know, last ditch effort, as you said, with a good last weekend?
I don't think there's anyone going to be now this weekend on the Florida State commit list. I think in January, Akeem Dent, the five-star cornerback, Miami's really working that one. He's a guy who's good. I mean, Florida State's going to fight for him to sign this next week. If he doesn't sign, I think that's a good news for Miami. Dante Lucas is another kid, the offensive lineman. Obviously, you know him. He was at Miami High, transferred over to IMG Academy. Miami got him on campus 2 weeks ago, but they're going to go in home with him at some point this week. A lot of people think Florida State's, you know, I would say he's probably going to stick with Florida State, but hey, you never know. He's been on campus, a kid from down here. So those two and Derek Hunter, those are the ones that Miami seems to be looking to poach.
Good stuff. Andrew, as always, thanks so much. Just keep doing what you do. Tell everybody how they can follow you so they could jump aboard.
You follow me on Twitter, Andrew_Ivins, is IVINS. Then you can find us at miami.247sports.com. Busy week coming up, man.
Yep.
Like, I haven't slept, I feel like.
That's all right. We'll keep you busy. You're doing all that cross training. You should be in shape now. All right, man. All right, thanks. Take care. Andrew Ivins, great guy, hard worker, as I said, very accurate, goes places, and that's very important. Speaking about important, we had talked about Northwestern earlier in the show, a team that 5-6 weeks ago, if anybody would say, well, you know, they'll be sitting there defending their championship and they'll win in Lakeland, and people would have said, no way. It's just not going to happen. We watched them, but all of a sudden they caught fire. They got hot. Defense, which has been good, stayed good. The offense cut down on the mistakes, and they get an opportunity last Saturday to go to Orlando, play Armwood, and win the game. 22-0, wasn't really close at all. One of the players who has been huge all year long on a defense that's just big time, Leslie Smith, University of Pittsburgh commitment, and a linebacker joins us this evening. Leslie, thanks so much and congratulations.
Thank you, Larry.
What a great thrill this has been for you. Last year you had an opportunity to get the state, saw that evaporate, but then this year, from the beginning, it was kind of evident you had talent, but a lot of young faces in the secondary, a lot of young people on the offensive side. When and where did this thing come back in, together, where you said, hey, you know what, we can make a run?
Well, we always had the mindset since the summer, since January, when everyone transferred in. We had the mindset. Well, at the beginning of the season, we faced a lot of adversity. You know, we weren't winning, like, any games. The team was, like, kind of, like, broken apart a little bit. And then after the game, when they was about to fire Coach Max, we all came together and like we got to work as a team to come together and win. We knew we could do it. We had the pieces to do it. We had the scheme to do it. We just had to come together as players and listen to the scheme. And cooperate with the coaches, listen to the coaches, and we came together and did it.
You know, I look back at the first Central meeting as a game that I'm sure you guys, it would have been painful to watch the film. 37, 38 penalties, 300-plus yards. How do you focus in a game like that? I mean, every time a big play is made, there's a flag. Was that a game, do you figure, that said it maybe focused you guys, made you more disciplined, got you a little bit hungrier to say, hey, listen, if we cut down on 30% of these things, we're in every game? Talk about that, because I think that could have been one of the reasons.
Well, in that game, it was a little frustrating for the offense, but for the defense, it was a little frustrating for the offense, because every time they made a play, they got a flag. Something they did good, they got called back.
Yeah,
it was really frustrating. But on the defensive side, Coach Max told us always, just keep playing no matter what happens. Just fight to the end. So that's what we did.
Yep.
And the outcome, what it was.
They put you on the road all five games, as it turns out. Opening game against Mainland, had no problem. You guys went up there, took care of business. Went back up and beat Heritage, did the same thing to them. Then it was a time that, for that rematch with Central. Did you have that, like you and I just talked, did you have that type of mindset where you said to yourself, second time around, we cut down on mistakes and we can win this game? Was there a time where you guys said during practice that week those words?
Well, in practice that week, all of my guys, all our leaders, we got real serious on our younger guys. We started, we were leading, but we started leading more. We took everything, more seriously. And then we just knew, Coach Max never got beaten twice. So we knew this team was going to beat us twice. We just had to cut down on the mistakes, listen to the scheme, and execute our assignments.
And last Saturday, when you guys took the field, this defense, which gave up 35 yards for the entire game and 3 first downs, did you think any time during the week that you could do that to Armwood?
Well, during the week, really, I didn't. I thought it was going to be a good game. They had, good offensive players as well as we had defensive players. I thought it was going to be a competitive game, a real competitive game, but we just went out and stayed humble and dominated.
And you did, and everybody took part in it. I mean, whether it was the defensive line coming up with plays by Kalijah Cansey. Here's a kid, to me, who has played as well as anybody. And I'm talking about anybody in the state this year. He's ramped it up. Talk about playing with him and Brooks and some of those guys like that. Jarrell Kidd as well.
Well, talk about my D-line a little bit. Well, the D-line, I love playing behind the D-line at linebacker. They make my job so much easier. Well, you got Kalijah at nose. You got Jarrell Kidd at the other nose tackle. Then you got Samuel Brooks at DN. And then you got one of my younger guys, John, at the other DN. They make my job much easier. Then you got beside me, Terrence Lewis. He's 2021. He's a dog.
Yes, he is.
We also have other D-linemen that, when they get in the game, they still keep the job going. When Kalijah needs a break, when Sam needs a break. I have other D linemen, Marty Moore. I have another DN, Jaru Harris. When they get in the game, they still make it right.
Yeah.
They replace them as if they're still there.
And then the secondary, which that's the one thing I noticed. I'll tell you, Leslie, when you guys played the first time with Central, I said, you know what? The secondary is really good, and they'll all be back. Talk about that. And my guy Timmy Burns made a nice play.
Yeah, well, the secondary, we had to make a few adjustments. We had to put on RJ Delancey. We had to move him to corner, left Larry in the nickel. Sometimes he played corner. We just had to make the right adjustments. Only defensive back we have graduating this year is Larry Robinson, Tyrus Clinch. The rest of them are young, 2021, 2020. All them guys are still dogs. I know they're going to be there next year.
I can't let you go. Before we talk Pittsburgh, talk a little bit about Coach Edwards, Coach Max. I mean, here's a guy that, as you said yourself, I mean, they were frustrated with him and they were going to get rid of him and all this stuff. But this is a guy that just, he marches to his own beat and he does a really good job. Talk about him.
Coach Max is an awesome coach. No matter what happens, no matter what, he always calls him God. He's an awesome coach. I mean, he always told us keep fighting. Every day of practice, he stay on us. Make sure we give our 110% at all times. Awesome defensive coach. He knows his stuff. And once we listen to him, we got the job done.
Yeah, no doubt. And in closing, Pitt, here's a program definitely on the rise. You were one of the first guys in the class to commit. Talk about that and what your future plans are to go up there.
Well, in the beginning, at first, when they came to practice and watched me, I was going 110% everything like I always do. And I found out I had the offer. I wanted to commit at first, but they was like, I had to go up into a linebacker camp. So I was like, no problem. So I went to the linebacker camp, did my thing. And I stepped in the office and told them I committed. And they was all excited. They're jumping on me. Told me I was the first one to commit for the class. It felt awesome. They treated me like a family.
Nice.
My plans when I get up there, I plan on hitting the field quick. That's why after signing day, I'm going to get the playbook, study my plays. As soon as I get up, I can get on top of it. I ain't trying to go out of the bench. I want to go start being a true freshman.
And no doubt from here, I've watched you, and I know what type of player you are. You're an intelligent guy. You're a leader on and off the field. You're a pleasure to watch, man. Congratulations on winning that elusive state title, Leslie. I know it's important to live your dream, and you certainly did. And well done, man. Well done. We'll talk to you soon, and best of luck in the near future.
Thank you, Larry.
Anytime. Leslie Smith, Miami Northwestern linebacker. What a defense. If you have an opportunity to watch that game somehow, some way, they kind of like – they don't do it like they used to. They kind of like hide this. They should be promoting high school football, putting it on all the airwaves for everybody to see. But excuse me. But they don't. And a lot of people don't get privy to that. So certainly the defense that Northwestern and Max Edwards dialed up this year was as impressive as you're going to get. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Monday evening South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Head coach Matt DeBuck, 5A state champion Cardinal Gibbons.
Radio.com. Radio.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
And we are back to wrap things up for this Monday evening. Larry Bluestein along with Matt Wilson as we take you till 9 o'clock. Thanks so much so far this evening in our first segment, Cameron Williams from Chaminade Madonna, state champions for the second straight year, 3A, and head of the University of Miami. Also to Andrew Ivins from 247 Sports and Inside the U, filled us in on a lot of really good things happening, some pretty good prospects still out there with, as he said, 9 days. That's right, this is the 10th, so 9 days left. Also to Leslie Smith from 6A state champion Miami Northwestern, University of Pittsburgh commitment. Talked very highly about the Panthers. And now we turn our attention to a program that has worked extremely hard over the last couple of years to put themselves in a position. They finally did it this year. Pulled off a rarity in the regular season by beating a team twice, and that was American Heritage Plantation. Least they could have done for all the teams that all the times that Heritage had the advantage. But congratulations to 5A state champion Cardinal Gibbons and our guest head coach Matt DeBuck. Coach, what a ride. Congratulations, and well-deserved.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate that.
I know that. I mean, I've been around this program for a long time. I've watched, you know, all the coaches and the work that you have put in over the last over the last decade with Coach Morrill and yourself, and in just the last few years of you getting an opportunity to take over your alma mater and winning that state championship. What an emotional ride it was for you, and especially Friday, late Friday afternoon, to be on that podium, getting that first place, that state championship the medal.
Yeah, it's kind of like Christmas vacation in many regards. You know, we've been chasing this thing since I was 17. And to finally get there, it was pretty rewarding. But you know, a lot goes into winning a state championship. Obviously, the coaches you've had on and the players you've had on. It's like I said before. It's like a big pot of soup, and you know, you put a lot of ingredients to that soup, and you know, you want it to taste good and the way you want it, but it doesn't always come out the way you want it. And I think every year it's for that challenge for that particular program or that particular team that you have to kind of figure out the right ingredients.
Coach, this thing goes way beyond athletics. This is a family. I mean, a lot of these families have gone to elementary school together, have gone to church together. They've grown up entwined in one another's lives. So this just isn't all about athletics. I mean, there's a lot to this, and representing class after class that didn't get an opportunity to win state titles. Talk about that and what it was like to play for not just Cardinal Gibbons of 2018, but all the way back since it opened.
You know, it was fun. I went to church on Sunday, and they talked about our team and gave us a shout out in church. And you know, at the end of the day, it's for not just me, but for everybody that's come through that school that has participated and then ultimately has had that close call with getting there. I got there in 1990 as a player and couldn't close it, and now you get there as a coach, and you know, whether it's Dave Montiel or Donnell Bennett or Mike Morrill or our principal Paul Ott, you know, those guys are all been there for a long, long time. And that's kind of a vindication of a lot of years, but you know, things gotta work in your favor, you know. It's you know, last year I thought we had a really good team and we didn't get there. This year, you know, we thought we had a really good team and we started off 0-2. Probably the best thing that happened to us, and gave us the ability to come back and fight through some adversity, and we could have went one way or the other. And we decided to go the right way, and we won 13 in a row.
Yep. And you did. Matt DeBuck, the head coach at Cardinal Gibbons, joining us, 5A state champions. And as you mentioned, to start the season, Coach, I mean, you play two teams that were pretty darn good. One nationally good in Miami Central, the other one Milton up in Georgia, a team that really did extremely well this year. But it also, as you said, it gave you guys focus to understand that there's not going to be a lot of teams you're going to be playing the rest of the way that are like Central. So you get that out of the way. You kind of learn from those mistakes. You go in there without one of your top players as well, and you learn from it. What do you think this team, because you had a lot of new faces. I mean, we're talking a sophomore quarterback who maybe took 2-3 significant snaps over the last year, if that, take you down the stretch. What's that like? I mean, I know that from you knew he was ready from a mind standpoint because the kid is really an intelligent kid, but to throw him into that 5A state championship game, what did you think was going to happen? I mean, did you really? I mean, because he's already passed both tests against Heritage and also in the playoffs. Talk about that as well.
Well, you know, we looked at this season as four chapters. You know, the first few weeks, we had Central down 14-0. Then we scored another touchdown, it was 21-0. Then it got called back. We had a couple fumbles in the third quarter that kind of did us in. And then we went to Milton, and, you know, whatever could happen bad happened. And, you know, we learned from that. And it was a lot of humble pie coming back from that one. And then we got on a run and didn't play great, but got on a run. And then, you know, we get into the playoffs and Nick gets hurt. Brody comes in, and you know, he managed every game. Brody did. You know, I give him a lot of credit. He didn't turn it over, didn't throw any interceptions. Handled. He didn't lose a game. He let Vince and those guys and Bogle kind of do their thing, and he just managed our team. And he did that again the week after that against Heritage, and then. We go into the state championship game, and he was about as calm as you could be for a young guy that, you know, had very little playing experience. So,
right. And nobody had gotten that far on the team. So, I mean, he was pretty much on equal footing with everybody else because no one's ever gotten that far from Cardinal Gibbons.
No, you know, and listen, here's the thing. And, you know, this is, you know, we got, my tenure, we've been in the second round 2 years in a row, and we're defeated. But this was a, you know, 16-week deal here. And then you go back to the preseason. It's 20 weeks. It's like an NFL season. This yeah. thing is a long haul. Yeah. You know, I give credit to the teams that have gotten this far, and I don't care who you are. You're going to have adversity wherever you get to when you go this long. And we had our share of it, but we were able to overcome it. And then I think, you know, when our quarterback got hurt, I think it was just everybody on the team just stepped up and said, all right, we've come this far. We're not going to give in now. And that's what they did. And, you know, it's a testament to the coaches, to our families. And you know, I woke up Saturday morning saying, all right, I've done everything I've needed to do at this point. What's left?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Sunday, I was reminded, well, you got to go back and get another one. So, you know, that's
That's the objective.
That was the motivation today. That was the motivation today. We'll have a team meeting tomorrow, and we'll put a closure on this season, and then it's back to the next one. And that's kind of how fast it's got to work.
Yeah. And Coach, in closing, I mean, you have a bunch of kids college-bound on this team, which is a lot of satisfaction because I remember back in the day, you know, in the early days of Cardinal Gibbons, where a couple of colleges would come through, a lot of academic schools. But now Oklahoma, Alabama, what's that like?
Well, I think, you know, we had Lincoln Riley's practice the other day, all week during the playoffs, we had different college coaches through watching our players, and I think, you know, that motivates the guys and
getting the best out of them. But, you know, you just got to thank the people that have come before you, and you know, what I've tried to preach over the last 3 years is that, you know, some of it sinks in, some of it doesn't, but,
right,
you know, for the most part, you know, our program is right where it needs to be.
And now we've got to, if we want to be an elite program, we've got to continue it. But I couldn't be happier and prouder as an alumni and then obviously as the coach. And I'm just happy to be a part of our future and where we're headed.
Good stuff. Coach, again, congratulations. Well-deserved. I've seen all the hard work from you and the kids and the coaching staff. And I do want to put a little props in for Jack Hanrahan because here's a guy that dialed up what a defense that he dialed up in the playoffs, shutting down really good teams. And here's a guy that's been there before, and you know, he's so even keel. And I just wanted to kind of shout him out a little bit because I know he's pretty special as well.
Well, he's been great, and he's been, you know, since when I got hired, I said, Jack, you gonna stay? He says, I got nothing else to do. And, you know, Jack.
Sounds like him.
And, yeah, and he, you know, I talked to him over the weekend. He's coming back. And
good
I think
stuff.
Our whole staff will be back. So I'm excited about our future and our coaches. And obviously, they're, you know, where we're headed. So
good
I have
stuff.
One of my kids will be a freshman next year. And
yes, sir. You know, no more ball boy. Get him off that sideline
no
into the uniform.
He's going to be in there. So we're excited about it.
Good
Thanks,
stuff.
Larry, for all you do, and you and Joe and the rest of those guys over at 560. So I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. That's it. What a great show, Matt. Starting off with Cameron Williams, Shaman Amadonna, University of Miami commit, to Andrew Ivins, who filled us in on everything Hurricanes, to Leslie Smith, Miami Northwestern, right to Matt DeBuck. 5A state champion Cardinal Gibbons. I know there's a lot of alumni walking around the streets these days, very proud, and certainly they should be. We are back next week. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. Very informative website. Radio.com.